Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy? Who kind of take off? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope, I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Spending like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low. I've been new, I've been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake. But it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Cold scratching, they messy. Bitches be broke and be petty. Hate on the low and it show cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, saying down got me every penny. Nights ain't have a penny. Hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flip it for sure. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face, Lord. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope, I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Spending like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low.
I said one time for the one time, could they hate now? Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealous in every, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it does, nigga. We get real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out.
What? Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Spending like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low.
What's happening, what's happening, what's happening, Ralph? Welcome back to Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black and my awesome sauce co-host, Mo Benz. What it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? Let's get it in. World famous chop up. You know how we do. So roll something, light something up, come kick it with your people. We about to get into it.
Yes, and as you guys know the schedule, this is... this is the last Sunday of the month, so we will be diving into the world famous chop up for the entire episode. As you guys can hear, shout out to our top five countries tuning in. There was no change mode. You want to run it down?
Yeah. Let me run it down. So number five, we got our peoples up north, our neighbors. Big shout out to Canada. Number four, we got the continent down under, Australia. Number three, we got the last kingdom, a.k.a. the United Kingdom, a.k.a. England. Number two, we got Viking Country, man. Big shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to the Vikings, man. Shout out to Switzerland. They mess with us. We mess with them. And the home team at number one, of course, the beautiful United States of America. Peace, peace, peace to all the countries out there. And if any, oh, Africa, please. I need some African countries back on this list, man. We, you know, we just stayed with some, you know, somebody was representing for Africa, man. So we got to get y'all back on there. But, you know, peace, peace and shout out to everybody out there listening across the world. We appreciate
right,
that.
Right, right. Because Africa's still on the map. They just not in the top five. So salute. So, as you guys can hear, I am coughing. I was like, oh, what a perfect night. Since Mo is doing the work from the top up.
Yeah.
Last week, my son came home and he was like his head was hurting. And so I was like, you know, okay, gave him some for a headache or whatever. Then come Monday when he woke up, he just did not feel like anything. You understand me? His nose was running. His head was hurting. He's like, my stomach hurt. My head hurt. My nose running.
Oh, man.
This is the season change, people.
Yeah.
Let's not get beside ourselves thinking, oh, COVID's out there, and everything goes to COVID. It is season change, and I have severe allergies, right? And so last week it was raining. Okay, so the weather in Georgia is super bipolar. One minute you get up, it's warm. Next minute you get up, it's cold. Next day you get up, it's raining. So last week it was raining, and
that Georgia rain is crazy too.
He went outside in the rain. So basically he caught an allergy comb. That's why his head was hurting, right, due to the cold or whatever. So it trickled down. So Monday and Tuesday I was giving him elderberry, keeping him, you know, on point. And then Wednesday and Thursday it was his baby brother. So it trickled to him. And then, of course, Friday, Saturday. So for me, I take herbs on a daily basis. My son that goes out, he takes elderberry every day. And I give my small son, who doesn't go out a lot, I give him elderberry whenever we go out, right? He gets elderberry gummy. So for me, I keep elderberry in my system. So when I started to feel the effects of it, I didn't have any headache or anything, but I had pressure in my sinus. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm battling. So I've been, you know, making sure I had microband in the house and everything like that. But it didn't miss me because I keep my room window open. And that is something that I do all winter long until it is time for summer. And in summer, I go outside so that I can recharge my melanin, right? We need to be out in the sun.
Got melanin popping.
Yeah, that's how you recharge. The sun is super hot, and so some people be like, oh, I don't want to go in the sun. It's so hot. It's so hot. That's how you recharge your energy, by going out in the heat. I don't care if it's walking around your house once or twice. Like, make sure that the sun hits you.
I'm gonna tell you though.
But
go ahead. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cut you off.
Basically. Tell them what you're saying, and then I'll go.
Yeah, now I was just going to say, too, you know, another thing, when you recharge your melanin and you go out in the sun, really take off your shoes and just walk in the grass, man, and barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And get that barefoot energy from the earth, and then that sun hits you. That's definitely recharge. You plugged in at that point. So I just wanted to put that out there for the people.
It don't have to even be the earth. You don't have to be grass. You can walk in the damn cement. But the cement gonna be hot as shit. But
yeah,
you get the point.
Or the desert, something like that. If you know, if you in one of those hands.
I've been battling that. I'm still eating. You know, like people kill me, like, ah, you know what you got? That, and I'm like, bruh, don't let these people fool y'all. The same shit that's been here, the same shit that we've been battling with, we still battling with it, right? Every time somebody gets sick, oh, you got that? Listen, ain't damn meal been missed in this house. Everybody's still eating. Everybody's still motherfucking drinking. The kids ain't set up. It's like they had a sinus cold. You hear that? That's my kids. They had a sinus cold, but they never sat the fuck down. You know what I'm saying? Like, They was on cloud 21 the entire week. So that's how I knew, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't the other bullshit or whatever. So now I'm dealing with it. And then every sit, so very briefly, like growing up, I had chronic asthma to where I was hospitalized a couple times a year due to chronic asthma. And when I got 18, 19, I started learning how to treat asthma, right?
Yeah.
And how to get rid of it. And I did, right? Hadn't had any type of asthma issues in over 15 years, probably more, you know, probably I'm going to give myself, I'm with my age now. I haven't had any asthma issues in over 22 years, right? So just do the math. Be realistic here, right? They'll tell you there's no way to cure asthma, but there is, right? I haven't had any type of asthma issues in 22 years. And year before, when this whole thing started, it's like I walked out the door and something, like, got into my system, and I started feeling like I was wheezing. And I told my neighbor at the time, I was like, man, it's something they putting in this air. You know what I'm saying? I think I told you guys on the radio show. I said, it's something they putting in this air, because why the hell am I wheezing? You know what I'm saying? And so with me battling this, and I don't take any medicine. I take elderberry. I take herbs. So with me battling what I'm battling, I didn't take any herbs yesterday because I was feeling better. But it's just now I got a cough today. So I seen my face, you know, took my elderberry or whatever because it's like my chest, but I've been going outside. None of my children have a cough, anything like that. I've been going outside. It's the pollen. So I came in the house and I closed the windows that were open. Of course, I had to wipe the pollen out the window sill. I mean, like, it seemed like the day they said, oh, spring equinox, the pollen just fell out the sky. Like, the pollen just came nowhere, like, you know what I'm saying? So I was wiping out the inside of my window sills with bleach. I have the house closed up now because the pollen is really kicking my ass. And I cooked dinner and, like, taking it easy, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I have no choice but to take it easy for a couple of days to let my system adjust to what's happening outside. I do have to go out tomorrow to get my nails done and to ship some orders out, but I'm going to, like, wear a mask leaving out of the house. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, you know, I don't have to breathe in anything and I can reset, but I've been actually going out every single day since the pollen has started to fall. So that's been my damn week. And I'm glad I don't have a whole hell of a lot of talking to do tonight because it is the Mo Show. I didn't really see anything. I didn't see anything interesting this week. I was really looking to, other than the kid at Disney World, because that's what everybody's talking about. But I kind of really don't want to talk about it. I know it's news, but I kind of don't. You know what I'm saying? Because he's 14 and the family's still breathing and, you know, that's kind of fucked up, you know. So I didn't have anything for this week. But how was your week?
So yeah, my week was awesome. I mean, just quietly awesome. But this week I'm calling it Stay Chiseled, you know what I'm saying? And gym life, man, like I feel like right now, like I really, you know, I detox, man. Like, I just chilled out on the weed smoke. I chilled out on drinking. And I chilled out on Red Bulls, you know what I'm saying? So I just cut all that out. And I just been exercising, man. And I just feel like right now, like, I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm not saying that I'll never engage in those three things I just mentioned ever again in life. I don't want to just say that or whatever, but just to cleanse myself going into the new season, getting ready for the summer, spring, summer. Like, I feel light, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, gym life, man. Like, I'm going to the gym, like, four times a week, man. I've really got into a nice routine. And it's right up the street from me, so it's just so convenient. Like, sometimes I feel like the way my apartment is situated in Brooklyn, I feel like I'm on a campus, you know what I'm saying? Because I got, like, everything. I walk into, I got a gym, I got a library, I got the park. You know, I got food, you know what I'm saying, places, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a real chill community, and it's kind of like my own campus in its own way. So so yeah, so gym life heavy. You know what I'm saying? I feel good, man, because you know when you feel good, you know what I'm saying, you look good. You know, you sell good, they pay good, you know what I'm saying? They pay good, you know, life is good. So, you know, I've been kind of following that. That's that Deion Sanders. Shout out to Deion Sanders, man. He said that way back in the day. But, yeah, I truly feel like that too, man. Like, you know, I'm like training like an athlete, you know what I'm saying, just to live right now, and it feels good. So that's one thing. Another thing, too, I got a chance today. My wife had a pop-up. And she, you know, she always does her pop-ups in different places, but this time she had a pop-up in, like, one of the spots in New York that I dig. I don't really go there as much often now because, you know, COVID, and just now with everything being on Amazon, just Manhattan has changed so much. But anyway, you know, she had a pop-up on Broadway, and it's like, if you're familiar with New York City, it's Union Square. And then from Union Square, you can walk down Broadway, and you're, like, walking past the NYU campus. It's just a chill thing. And, like, back in the day, that's where, like, you know, that's Soho. So that's, like, where all, like, a lot of the popular stores have been through the years. So, anyway, she had a pop-up across the street from this famed, like, sneaker spot called Flight Club. Way crazy expensive, but that's just how it is, because they just want people who want exclusive sneakers to come in there and just pay whatever prices they do. But anyway, it was across the street from there, so it was cool to see my wife do her thing. So I just went up there, supported her real quick, and you know, so that was chill. That was good energy. And then I'm just back here, you know what I'm saying, ready to get it in, chop it up for the night. You know what I'm saying, as far as our topics, or as far as my chop up topics. But that's it, you know what I'm saying? So stay chiseled out there to everybody. Health as well.
All right. Was that picture that y'all took from the pop-up?
Nah. You know what? I got so many just pictures through the years that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, on my phone. So every so often, like, a lot of times it might be current. Sometimes it might just be, like, a throwback picture that I just thought was, like, a cool picture, a cool setting, a cool, you know what I'm saying, a cool vibe. So that was just one that, you know, I hadn't seen in a while. And I was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? I do love my wife.
She is so beautiful.
You know?
I was like, what the hell did she see in Mo?
Yeah. Oh, yo, I've been reading this, the book I was telling you about last week. So look, I'm gonna put out, because I know you be on your book game too, and don't forget, I ain't forgetting. I'm gonna definitely cop. You don't worry, I got you on that. But right now I'm reading this book called The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman, and it's made by this author. Her name is Shahrazad Ali, man, and she got She got the Black Woman's Guide to Understanding the Black Man too. So it's like a two book thing. So I'm in this little book club, like, you know what I'm saying? This person put me on, like, oh, yeah, you would probably like this. So I'm reading this, and then I'm going to read the other one. But it's deep, man. So, like I said, you know, of course, we got the world-famous Shabbat tonight, and then we got the spiritual show first weekend of the month. But then when we get into our turn-up shows or just our, like, relationship-type topics, you know, I should definitely be able to curate some topics from this book, man, because it's a good read, man. Like, I'm really open. She's hitting some stuff. She's telling some secrets that I'm like, you know, I pride myself on knowing a black woman, but she going deep beneath the surface. You know? So,
she's a great author.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
I would love to hear about what you're taking from that, you know. Not necessarily meaning everything is right or wrong, to be able to pull something off, you know, like that, you know, kudos to her.
Like, you know, and I'm not saying, like you said, that's, you know, you got to use discernment. You got to just take the jewels that work for you, you know what I'm saying? So, but we definitely going to get some topics out of this book. I can see it.
I'm still smoking.
as a coffee.
But I took over an hour ago, I took a spoonful of honey, okay? The spoonful of honey, for those people that suffer with seasonal allergies like me, I know they have a lot of stuff out like Claritin, and don't be going to have these people, because if your body shows any signs or symptoms of a cold, if you go test for that thing, it's going to come back positive, okay? Because the signs and the basis of it is that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for people that suffer from seasonal allergies like me, I never really get wheezy, and I feel a whole lot better. But I took a spoonful of honey, and if you guys get, like, the simple honey where, like, you can taste the little chunks of the honeycomb, like, in Georgia, of course, we have, you know, places that have just the really simple honey.
Yeah.
A spoonful of that. My girl in North Carolina turned me on to that. And it's like, actually, as it was going in my body, I was feeling better. I can't tell you which method worked, right? But the reason I'm coughing more is because, you know, whatever, you know, the mucus was that was in my sinus, you know, started to drain, right? Started to drain down. But I do take elderberry every day. And my dosage is 2 elderberries. My regular dosage is 1. But whenever my body is up against something, I double my dosage of elderberry. So I take the vegan capsules. So I take 2 elderberries a day until my body balances back out. I took a spoonful of honey, right? And that's good for allergy season. And she said just, like, you don't have to take it every day. Just take it for, like, 3 days straight, and you should be good for the entire season. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something in it that balances your body out. So I'll be taking that for the next couple of days. And I did like a steam pot, right? Because the pollen gets in your nose and stuff like that, you know, and that's how you get the little sinus headaches. And so basically I took a white Pyrex bowl and I boiled water and I put a towel over my head. This is where they get that from when it came out. But it clears out all of the pollen and anything that's in your nose and in your airways. Huh?
I said, you got me thinking of my grandmother. Big shout out to Nana, one of my grandmothers. But that was her go-to. When I was sick, a little kid sick, she would get the hot, she'd get one of the steam, let the steam from the bathroom, like, really get hot, the water. And, you know, then I would bend over the sink and then people had a towel over me, and then that steam would just, like, clear me up. Yeah, so, you know.
I'm not a medicine type person at all whatsoever. And so there's things that your body is going to do what it has to do by itself. But just, you know, medicine, you know, they came up with these things to give suppression, right? And so when you take these suppressants, cough suppressant and, you know, these things for certain symptoms, it pushes it down in your body. It doesn't make it go away. It pushes it in your body. And after so many years of taking medicine, then you have all this buildup, you know what I'm saying, in your body of illness and things like that. So when you are detoxing, you know, you tend to get sick, and that's because of the things that you pushed inside of your body. But I use the bathroom very regularly because of the herbs that I do take. And trust and believe, I get myself Monday, Tuesday, you know, I should be balanced out, but I know I got to go get my nails. My nails look raggedy. And I tried to go last Sunday, but they were closed. So last Sunday or the Sunday before last, something like that. But, yeah, if you guys suffer from that, instead of taking, like, medicine, Claritin, and all of that other stuff that makes you feel a certain type of way, there's home remedies that you can do to clear out your airways. And it's not an instant relief, but you'll feel your body shifting. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still smoking. I'm still eating. I'm still doing everything that I do, you know, I just don't lay on my back.
When you smoking? Smoking what?
Now listen, you know I don't smoke.
You said it.
But
twice,
let me tell you about what happened. Let me give you this quick story since we do a real famous chop up. Like, listen. So right across the street from me, bro. Like, remember I was telling you when you was here? I was like, shit, everything is right here. Bro, right across the street, they put a smoke shop. And so I went in this smoke shop to get charcoals, right, for my cleansing, to cleanse my space. I had cleansed my space right before the full moon in Virgo. It's a major shift that's happening right now for you guys, and we'll talk about that on the next show. Just remind me to talk about the full moon in Virgo and the equinox and things like that. But it's a major shift that's happening in relationships that have been uneven and, you know, having, you know, certain issues or not. But we'll talk about that. That can be our topic for next week. But smoke shop is right there. So full moon here, and something was like, just cleanse your space, just cleanse your space, detox, detox. And I ran out of charcoal, so I went in there to get charcoals, and I'm realizing they like, you know, in the state of Georgia, you know, hemp and CBD up to 0.3 is legal, right? And I was like, damn, where was I? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they were saying, like, you can – you won't go to jail under so many ounces or something like that. But I didn't know that they were selling hemp and CBD in the stores.
Yeah.
They got cigars that already got the hemp and CBD in it. They got joints sitting there. It can't go over 0.3, which is the legal limit. So, you know, everything in there is 0.3,
right? Black and mild CBD. They got the black and mild CBD.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
But it's not now, black and mild. It looked like what?
Yeah.
But it's all hemp and CBD, right? And then they have, God, what is this? What is shit called? Hold on. I want to be accurate. This stuff called Delta 9, Delta 10. Delta 9 is illegal, and I think some people with a prescription, you can get Delta 10, right? And with the Deltas, like, you know, people like Delta 8, Delta 8, if you haven't heard about it, go figure out what Delta 8 is, right? So now, they have edibles in this store, okay? And they have different types of edibles or whatever the case may be, you know. But the guy was in there, and then, you know, my son's godmother, she was there. So she was like, man, I tried these brownies, and they so good, and da-da-da. So I said, I've heard so many stories about edibles and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
But I never ever in my life tried one, you know.
Okay.
And so I hear people saying, like, oh, man, I took an edible, waited 30 minutes, nothing happened, took another one, da-da-da-da-da-da, which is I was riding this bitch, you know, crying because I thought I was deaf, but I had TV on mute. You know, shit like that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Baby, let me tell you something. The man sold her some flying monkey gummies.
Monkey gummies.
Delta 8.
Okay.
Flying monkey. So she was chilling here or whatever. And I said, no, I'm going to just watch you. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't play. So, yeah, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to make sure you're okay. The man told her specifically, he repeated it three times. He said, only take one.
Yeah.
Only take one. He said, I don't care how long it take to kick in. Only take one.
Right.
So she get here, you know what I'm saying, took her about 30 minutes to get into the gummies, right? So, you know, finally got in the gummies. So she ate a gummy. And then she was like, you know, 20 minutes. She's like, I don't feel shit. And I was like, yeah, let me go ahead and grab these gummies from you because I already know how this is going to go, and you're not going to trip out on me in here. And
exactly.
So she's like, I ain't tripping out, but I just don't feel nothing. So we sit down talking, you know, watching TV, and then that bitch kicked in. Do you understand me? Now, when somebody that smoke weed, when they go to acting different, you know that shit is some shit, right?
Yeah,
this goddamn gummy kicked in about 40 minutes into this motherfucking trip, right?
Yeah.
Baby, that motherfucker was sitting here high, stuck as shit for 5 hours. I can't even drive. She was like, what about? She was in this bitch bugging. I said, well, what the fuck they got in them damn things? She was like, bitch, I don't know, but I feel good. Then she'd be like, bitch, let me tell you what happened. And I'm like, all right. And then she'd just go dead silent for 10 minutes. And I'm like, what happened? She was like, shit, man, I don't even feel like talking. And then I'm like, okay. And then she's like, well, why you not talking? Because I don't want to talk if you're not talking. She's like, all right, let's talk. Then go side of the gate. I say, I don't know what the hell that shit is. But I can't deal. But Flying Monkey, Delta 8, Flying Monkeys, like, she was in this bitch on one, and she smoked weed. And I was like, see, so just imagine how somebody like me that don't smoke weed, that don't do nothing, legal or not, like, imagine somebody like me on some shit.
Yeah,
man,
no, you can have a good trip or a bad trip. A good trip is nice, but a bad trip, not good, man. So that's the thing. That's the balance.
No, I took them from her. I gave them back to her the next morning because by the time she came down, it was like close to 12. She took them like 6 that afternoon. It's close to 12. And then she lives 45 minutes away, and it's like a lot of dark roads. So she was like, bitch, I can't even drive. Just think the way you came. And then she got to go the back way home. Ain't nothing but dark roads. Like, you going through, like, country communities. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was like, No, you can just go ahead and sleep in the fourth bedroom. And she stayed the night and got up this morning. She's like, bitch, where my gummies at? I'm going to take some when I get home. I said, bitch, have at it. I just did not want you to take, you know, take more than one. And you was in the butter. She's like, what I was doing? I said, that's, you know, you was fucked up when you wake up and be like, what I was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. That's a sign. Right.
That's the sign. So I be hearing Mo talking about edibles and all of that. Y'all can have them shit. When I sit and watch y'all act like that, give me my water, give me my tequila.
Yeah.
And we all right here, honey.
Well, I, like I said, I had a CBD edible that was good, and then when my wife messed around and got a THC edible and didn't really know it, man, that shit turned me off, so I'm kind of good, too. But, so that was a nice little story time. So, without further ado, let's get into it, man. So we're going to get into the world-famous chop-up, man. This is the last... You know, the last Sunday of the month, so you know how we do. So, a few topics, man. I'm going to try to drag this thing out, man. So, pardon me if I ramble or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, if I say something that's interesting, Black might chime in or whatever. But I'm going to start it off first we got the Oscars tonight. And it's like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? I don't even really want mess with movies, but the TV shows is out now. Man, this has been like probably like one of the best. I haven't watched this much TV, and you know, I don't want to sound like I'm a couch potato or nothing like that, but now you can just curate your list. You know what I'm saying? We in 2022 now, so watching TV is much different than it was before. Like, now you can just have it programmed, so you just strictly on your free time, you know what I'm saying, after you handle your business or whatever. So I say that to say this, so we got the 94th, it's the 94th year of the Oscars, so it's going on right now. Ain't nothing really to talk about, but I was just skimming through it, you know what I'm saying? I like to kind of like just look at the nominations and look at what's nominated, see if there's anything that sounds interesting. Really wasn't too many things. The one thing that I'll say is Sean Penn was in the news today, and basically I didn't write down the name of the president of Ukraine, but I think you know what, hold on, let me see if I can just pull it up real quick, because I was in the gym earlier today and it came across CNN. You know, I don't watch the news, but they got all the TVs on at the gym. So basically Sean Penn calls for a boycott of Oscars if Zelensky not invited to speak. So you know, Sean Penn is a very interesting character. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been a fan of Sean Penn through the years. Like, you know, some of his movies I thought was pretty dope. Back in the day, young Sean Penn. I told you, Casualties of War, probably like my favorite Sean Penn movie. And then Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's when he was young, man. That was like the late 70s. But now, and then, you know, he started dating Madonna. And now he just thinks he like a political guy. You know what I'm saying? Political, I don't know. Ever since he set up El Chapo. What's up?
But I think he's just probably trying to fall in line with them because everybody's been boycotting whatever this is, the Grammys or Oscars or whatever the case may be. Which one was Kanye supposed to be at?
Was he? I don't even know. He's talking about. I remember what's the comedian Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart was supposed to host the Oscars one year, and because of the whole Me Too situation, he didn't do it or whatever. But
it was something that Kanye was supposed to be at something, and then there was a comedian that was hosting it, Trevor Noah. And they pulled Kanye, and Trevor Noah said, I said, you know, Kanye, not cancel Kanye. And so there is a bunch of rappers and things that are putting together a concert at the same time, as I think it's the Grammys or something like that that's coming up.
Oh, wait, hold on.
It might be the Grammys. Yeah, and they're saying, like, the Grammys is overrated, you know what I'm saying, and it's time for us to come up with our own thing. Whatever, I think it may be coming up April 4th or something like that. So For Us, By Us TV, which is also, I think it's on Revolt. Diddy is trying to take back a lot of people, like Nick Cannon talk show got canceled. I guess it wasn't getting enough views and things like that. And Diddy told him, come on over here to Revolt. So, you know, Revolt was doing something back in the day, and then, you know, they shut down. And so Diddy has a lot of people going over to Revolt now. So they are trying to pick back up. I think they actually picked up Nick Cannon's show on Revolt, and they are trying to plan something for the same time that the Grammys is. You know what I'm saying? So that they can take all of, you know, especially the black talent from, you know, those types of situations. So here's my thought on that. If it was white people doing it, right, because we always talk about feeling less than or not feeling privileged and so on and so forth. If it was them that decided to do something like that to us, then we would feel like, oh, it's racist. That's the first thing that we're calling out. So for them to do it, you know, you gotta. It's the same thing. You don't really get a certain pass because you're doing it to the white folks. Like, what if they did it to you? We don't understand how this shit goes both ways because people are just trying to prove a point. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's kind of stupid, but we're gonna see how that works.
Yeah, I never liked that guy Trevor Noah, but anyway. Yeah, so, you know, so I was just cruising. So that was one storyline from the Oscars. Now, the other thing was, just for the people out there that are into it, a couple things that kind of stood out. Like, ever since I really downloaded the HBO Max app and I really curated my, like, watching list, like, I've really been into, like, a lot of documentaries and stuff like that. HBO really has some really riveting, provocative programming, man. I'm really like a fan of what they do, you know what I'm saying, how they do it. So anyway, so I'll be really looking for good documentaries. And so I saw, I guess this is part of, you know, because the Oscars is playing right now as we speak, it's live, but, you know, a lot of the, I guess, the let's see, awards that didn't make the actual broadcast, you know, you already saw the winners. So anyway, I saw one. So the best short documentary is called The Queen of Basketball, and I think it's going to be on NBA TV, and hopefully it'll get over to HBO. But she, you know, it's an interesting story. I heard bits and pieces about her, but I would like to see a full-fledged documentary about her, and it seems like it's good if it won, you know, best short documentary. But anyway, big shout-out. Her name was Lucia Harris, right? And she led a Mississippi college, like a rural Mississippi college, 3 national titles. She was the first woman to score a basket in women's Olympic basketball history back in 1976. And she was the only woman ever, the first and only woman ever to actually be drafted by an NBA team. So, yeah, she need a documentary. She probably need a movie, you know what I'm saying? But big shout out, man. So I kind of want to check that out. So that's on my radar if I ever come across and see that. Then some other things that I saw, too, that I was like, okay, maybe that's kind of interesting. There's a movie that came out called House of Gucci. I think they was up for some, like, awards as far as wardrobe and makeup and stuff like that. But that's got Lady Gaga. You know, I'm like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to waste my time to watch that. But I always like Gucci. You know what I'm saying? Big shout-out to Gucci. You know what I'm saying? That's one of my high-end fashion lines that I do rock with. I don't really rock with the high-end stuff, but I like Gucci, Balenciaga, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to pay those crazy prices, but, you know, if I can catch a nice piece at a good deal, you know what I mean, I might rock with it. So it could be an interesting story. So, you know, I saw that's up for some awards. So shout out to that. And then I think this movie has been on Apple TV or whatever, you know, so many different networks now is trying to have their different movies, and because the whole game has changed. That's why movies just ain't the same no more. But The Tragedy of Macbeth, you know, I've been seeing that. That's an old school, what's the guy's name? I can't even think of the guy that used to have all those different plays back in the day. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, The Tragedy of Macbeth, it's starring Denzel Washington. It might be up for, like, wardrobe and cinematography and stuff like that, because I saw how it's like, looked like it's shot in black and white, you know what I'm saying? So that looks kind of interesting. You know, Denzel's always going to come with it. I can't wait. I can't believe I can't think of the guy's name. I told you I'm going to ramble a little bit. But, you know, the guy that wrote Romeo and Juliet, Tragedy of Macbeth, and all those old school plays or whatever. I don't know why I can't think of his name. Very popular Greek dude, I think. But anyway, if it comes to me, I'll circle back. Can't think of his name right now. And then another documentary that caught my eye that could be kind of interesting, especially if HBO gets it, is called Summer of Soul. And that was directed and produced by Questlove, and that's nominated for Best All-Around Documentary. And that's cool, too, because that's just like a – that was – took place in 1969, and that was the same time as, like, Woodstock and all that stuff, but it was a Harlem music festival, you know what I'm saying? So you had all the ill black acts of that day, you know, coming through and showcasing. So that seems interesting, and I would like to see a documentary on that, you know what I'm saying? I saw a nice documentary called Soul on HBO about this TV show that came on in the late 60s, early 70s. It was on, like, New York public programming or whatever, but they had all the ill acts from back in the day coming through and just showcasing their talent, man. It was real, real good, man, but it was called Soul. But so I'm thinking that's probably going to be in the same wave as that. So, you know, that's the Oscars, man, and that's the only thing that really jumped out to me, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure some bland other stuff that people, you know, might gravitate to, but, you know, that's not my wave. So that's one thing that's going on, you know, that I thought was kind of interesting that I just wanted to run down. Now, let me see here, what I want to tackle. A couple things before I get into the sports report. Very interesting, man, that I think this story is very interesting. These name changes, you know what I'm saying? These different name changes that was from, you know, that was old, I guess, Native American sports franchises that now have switched over and their new names. And now it's going to be interesting to see how these new names move forward. One that I'm very familiar with because it's from my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. And the Cleveland Indians, man, you know, like, so I my whole youth, you know, that's all I knew was the Cleveland Indians. And, you know, and because of my immaturity, I didn't really see how derogatory it was because it didn't really affect me. And that's how, you know what I'm saying? I guess that's just the times we were in at that time, and now the times have changed or whatever, and now I can kind of maybe see it, you know what I'm saying? But the Chief Wahoo that's on the Indians had, it's a real, you know, derogatory-looking red Indian with, like, a big smile and a feather, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was just a dope emblem, you know what I'm saying, as young. But now, and I did purchase, like, a fitted just to keep in my closet. I mean, I might wear it every so often. Try not to offend nobody, but it's just, you know, I'm not trying to be offensive. It's just part of my culture being in Cleveland or whatever. But you know, it's interesting how they've now switched to the Guardians. And I'm just looking at the names. So it went from the Cleveland Indians to the Cleveland Guardians. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of just it's just an interesting name. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, all right, we was giving props to the Indians, and now it's the Guardians. It's like the Cowboys have taken over, and now it's, you know, the Guardians of the territory now. You know what I'm saying? Kind of looking at that from that perspective. I thought that was just an interesting kind of name. So it's going to be interesting to see how that just plays out and the name and stuff like that over time. And, you know, people just forget the Indians logo or whatever. And then the other one is the Redskins. So the Washington Redskins. Now, that's been a popular football team for years, man. That's one of the marquee old school football franchises. And now they're going to be called the Washington Commanders. So same thing, man. It's just like, wow. You know what I'm saying? You see the evolution of this country. You know what I'm saying? So the Redskins, yeah, all right. You know, it's like, I don't know, you know, and that one didn't look as derogatory, but the name is kind of more, I guess, derogatory, Redskins, you know what I'm saying? And nowadays, too, and maybe Black, you know, you can attest and educate on this, too, because I found it very interesting, you know what I'm saying, when we had the argument about Africa, like, last month on our, like, Black History Month show or whatever. But, like, I was just, you know, talking to my wife. I think we was watching something. I was probably watching some documentary on this subject on HBO, as far as like the Native Americans and, you know, when the colonizers or the pilgrims, whatever you want to call it, came through, white people, you know what I'm saying, came through and started taking over the land or whatever. But I was just thinking to myself, like, damn, man, when you Native Americans, they are really kind of like extinct. Like, I don't want to say extinct, but, you know, I just don't see them in common society because they kind of just stay to themselves now. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's very interesting when you see an Indian because they're not really conditioning to become modern-day Americans. It seems like Native Americans want to still maintain their culture, which is, I definitely respect that. You know what I'm saying? So now they're in different just reservations. I know it's one in, like, upstate New York somewhere, and I know there's actually a casino in Connecticut that's owned by a reservation. But it's just interesting. But, you know, the thing that I wanted to maybe ask you about, if you still can hear me, was how they blend in now. You know what I'm saying? Because now I think a lot of Black people blended in with Native Americans. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, they kind of blend into the culture of Black Americans. And I think you're probably one of that, you know, offspring of that. Black, you hear me? Wow, Black then just dipped out. Anyway, so I'm going to come back to that because I
I hear you. What did you say? Repeat it one more time.
Yeah. All right. So I was talking about how the name changes for Native Americans, how it switched over in sports, two franchises. One was the Cleveland Indians. Now, the Cleveland Indians are now called the Cleveland Guardians. And then the Washington Redskins are now called the Washington Commanders. And I was saying that I was watching some documentary or whatever, and it was talking about Native Americans and, you know, when the colonizers came through, basically white people came through, ended up taking the land from, you know, the Indians and all that type of stuff. And I was just thinking to myself, talking to my wife, like, damn, you know, like, Native Americans really seem like they're extinct. You just don't see them in American culture anymore. You know what I'm saying? But now I had to kind of think it. Like, it's not really that they're extinct. They really just never conditioned, meaning they never Americanized it because they are Native Americans. So, you know, now they're in different reservations. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's one in upstate New York. And then I was saying how there's like a casino in Connecticut that's run by a Native American reservation or whatever. So I was asking you, because the other thing that I've noticed is that I think a lot of Native Americans have blended in with Black culture. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know how our melanin is popping. So once we once we mix, you know, the black melon is going to be just dominant over anything that we mix with. We know that. But I'm starting to think, too, there's a lot of hybrid kind of Indians just blended in with black culture. And but this is where I was asking you, because you really, you know, talked about this. You know, when we talked, when we did our show last month, I called it the Black History Show, when you was having your situation with the Africa, you know, at your job or whatever, and we was talking about that. So I guess the question I have for you is, do you really feel that way? Because you were saying, like, half of you is Native American, if I heard you right.
Right.
Right. So I was just saying, if you could just maybe educate me or educate the listeners out here how you feel about that, because I was just thinking, and you know, I thought about you while watching this documentary, like, Native Americans aren't really extinct. I mean, they are in, you know, like I said, different reservations and stuff like that, but a lot of Native Americans have just basically blended into African American to black culture in the United States. So what I was just saying is how, like, our melanin is popping, so you might just see somebody just think that she's just he or she is just straight black because, you know, darker skin color, but in reality, they could just be Native American blended in. So when you say, you know, you really represent that Native part of America, you're tapping into your Native American side, right?
Right. So the one thing about it is that they're distinctive, right? Native Americans are distinctive. Now, you hear some Negroes that say, you know, if you black, then you Native American. I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? Being that I am, you know, who I am, I'm going to send you some pictures in a minute, like after I get finished talking, and I'm going to show you my family. They have very distinct looks. Like, you can't, just like people from, like, Africa, like, with their look, and Haitians, you know, they have the big noses, and Native Americans have a very distinct look. Even when they are blended in, you know, with, you know, the black folks, they still have a very distinct look. So you can tell. So, but when you look at me, you know, I look like a black person. And then, like, when I used to go swimming, then that's when people be like, okay, what the hell are you mixed with? Because my hair would just curl all the way up. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, okay, looking at your skin tone and your hair, you don't even look black anymore. But growing up, based on, like, the people that I was around and then based on my people, I was doing everything to look like the people that I was around. You know what I'm saying? And so I always straightened my hair. I always, you know, try to look like them. But keep in mind that, you know, both sides are from somewhere else. You know, one side is thinking Haitian, and then African, and then you have Native American. Like, so it's three different, you know, it's three different sides, but, you know, our founders are from right here. But my mom, my grandma, my cousin, when you see my family, it's like it's either this or that. It's either you're dark-skinned or you're high yellow in my family, right? But that's because of our Native American side just stands out without question. And it's not just, you know, oh, this particular cousin, set of cousins, they mom and dad red, and so, you know, they look like that. It's a very distinctive look that Native Americans have. So they're not extinct, and you will be able to see who they are. They have a certain body build, and they're generally taller, women and men, okay? They're taller. They have the broad shoulders, and, you know, they have the little booties. You know what I'm saying? Like, the broad shoulders and the smaller bodies, smaller bottoms, or, you know, you know, tall and slim, could have, you know, bigger arms. But you'll be able to tell a real Native American versus, you know, the ones that have blended in. They are not extinct. It's just so many people have declined to know their heritage and their roots. You know what I'm saying? Or they don't express it as much because of all the slack that the Native Americans have. And it just goes to show you how the colonizer, you know, tries to push and make it seem like our ancestors and our heritage comes from Africa when it comes from right here, because they are trying to make the Native Americans seem extinct. But, you know, the Native Americans were here first before the colonizers, you know, before the pigs pulled up, they were already here. And it's their goal to make them feel as though they don't matter. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. And that brings me to my point, because, you know, during slavery and stuff like that, you know, a lot of, especially like when a lot of, I guess, you know, slaves might have, you know, escaped or whatever. And, you know, you never hear any battles with, like, black, you know, black Africans at the time or slaves at the time, you know, having beef with Native Americans. It was like, you know, they it was like, all right, we both against these white folks at the time. It's like, you know, just colonizing and just, you know, bringing this whole Western culture over here and, you know, trying to convert everybody from being pagan to being Christians and Catholics and all, whatever the case may be. So, you know, so that's, I think that's a story that kind of goes unwritten in a way, you know what I'm saying, is the black and the Indians that really just combined and became they like own type of mixture, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's dope that you're a product of that, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I was like, really, I had really had to do my knowledge. You were so passionate in, you know, in what you were talking about. So, like, I really, you know, was just trying to get some understanding of it. So, yeah, so I just thought that was kind of interesting. So that's one thing. So another thing that's in the topic that I wanted to talk about was big shout-out to Remy Martin. And I want to just showcase her as, I don't want to say, you know, there was a popular Donald Goins book back in the day called Black Girl Lost. And I don't want to say she was lost, but, you know, she was, I guess, to a certain extent. And I'm just so happy how she was saved by, like, the rap community. You know what I'm saying? She's truly a queen in the rap game. You know what I'm saying? As far as I like her story, her perseverance. So I just wanted to shout it out, man, because Remy Ma, I haven't watched her. She's on Drink Champs this week. I haven't got a chance to watch the interview, but I'm a big fan. She probably might be my favorite, you know, my favorite rap female changes. You know, sometimes it might be Foxy Brown one moment, then it might be Remy, then I might rock with some Meg, you know what I'm saying? Then I might get on my old school Little Kim, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just love the black female in the rap game because, you know, I'm a big rap just guy, you know what I'm saying? But Remy, I just think her story's dope, man, because I saw her, another show that I got a chance to watch, me and my wife, we got back on our VH1. Now that COVID and all the restrictions have been lifted, like some of our favorite shows that we really just connect on is back. One being Black Ink Crew, another one Love and Hip Hop, you know, all the VH1 shows. But anyway, VH1 has a very interesting show called, speaking of Africa, about the genealogy or whatever. And I like own genealogy, I guess, lab. And the female that started it, she's a, you know, black business owner, and, you know, she has a business now where she can, you know, retrace your DNA. And, she's a genealogist. And so they had some of the popular people that's been on, you know, like Black Ink Crew or mainly Love and Hip Hop through the years was able to come through and do the genealogy test and you know, see their DNA and see where they come from. So now what's very interesting about this is I did this, right? But I did, you know, my father's side. So that was very, very great for me. You know what I'm saying? I told you, I'm definitely comedic no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Egyptian philosophy, Egyptian culture, Egyptian spirituality, that's me. That's where I really found myself. You know what I'm saying? That's when I really, everything just made sense, you know, with science and spirituality. But anyway, but, you know, that's ancient history of Mo Benz. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that's in my DNA because I just truly connected that. Fly God is an awesome guy. Big shout out to Thoth. But anyway, Thoth is my mentor. But anyway, just more of my immediate route from Africa came up was Benin and Togo, the Congo, and Cameroon. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a mixture of those. But the Benin and Togo really, really made a lot of sense. And it was funny, too, because I know you just talked that you said you have some Haitian in you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It was funny because I was talking to one of my associates, a couple of my associates that happened to be of Haitian descent, right? And I always respect the Haitian culture, you know what I'm saying? And big shout out to Haiti, you know what I'm saying? Hold your head, Haiti. But, you know, Haiti was colonized by the French, so, you know, they speak French, which evolved into Creole. And being in Brooklyn, you know, I got a lot of, you know, my barber's Haitian, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've had just Haitian friends and associates through the years. But anyway, we got to talking about the whole revolution that happened in Haiti because, you know, Haiti was the first to win their independence. And basically, they were talking about the whole voodoo culture and stuff like that. And I was just talking about how, like, I was never scared of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Where most people would be like, nah, keep that away from me. Like, you know, I never went into it with bad intentions. I was just like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a science. It's a magic to it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying? That's part of our culture. And when I did my genealogy, it all made sense because I have Benin and Togo in me, and that's our culture. So I say that to say this. When I was talking about it, this is the first time I ever brought it up to, you know, to people that was Haiti, that was Haitian. So I talked to my one friend about it, and then I was like, yo, you know, I'm Benin and Togo. I got that in me. He was like, oh, and he immediately, both of them immediately knew. And it was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? We get it now. So anyway, I say that to say this, you know, to find out what you are is very important, man, because you got a lot of people have certain quirks about themselves and don't even know why. But then when you do the DNA test and, you know, you do some knowledge on yourself and you just talk to your ancestors and, you know, and talk to your, you know, just your OGs or your family and stuff like that, you get history, man, it really starts to make sense. So anyway, I say that to say this. It was dope having Remy on there because she found out that she was Nigerian. And, you know, and I can see that too. So the ill part too is like with the genealogy thing is if you're a guy, it goes through your father's line. And then if you're a female, it goes through your mother's line. So, you know, the Benin and Togo, the Congo, and the Cameroon, that came up on my father's line. But I still got to do my mother. You know what I'm saying? I need to have her do her genealogy test. And that'll even open up even more to me. So I just love how, like, now, you know, embracing who they are, meaning if it's from Africa, if it's from Native American descent. And I ain't even going to hate. You know, I got 17% Euro in me, you know what I'm saying? European in me. So that's prevalent in me. That's where I get a lot of...
I just sent you a picture to your inbox.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to check that out. And, but that's, it's so interesting to me too, because I love how you really showcase your Native American part. I'm not going to just shit on my European part that's in me. 17% of me is European. And I know I get some of that savageness from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I got my spiritual black side, and I'm always rep that. Shout out to Kemet. You know what I'm saying? That's me. That's most of me. But I got a lot of logical savageness of that colonial type shit in me too. You know what I'm saying? So I respect some of that as well. You know what I'm saying? So that's why when I look at some of this history and history of this country or whatever, I don't just look at it from the slave point of view. I look at it from the master's point of view. You know what I'm saying? I look at it from, okay, I'm about to just organize and take over this shit. You know what I'm saying? If I see opportunity, you know what I'm saying? So you got to just look at, I think as black Americans, we got to look at all sides. We can't just look at the fucked up side. You got to look at the other side too, man, to really come up. But anyway, I just thought, Remy, I just like how, and then they had her husband on there, Papoose, who's another rapper from Brooklyn or whatever. He did his. He found out he was Cameroon. So it was just dope, man. I just love how Fat Joe, you know what I'm saying, always, you know, just lend a hand to her, man, because that's what we need. You know what I'm saying? Certain prominent figures in our community. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them are lost for a second. And, you know, when they can get saved by this, like, African proverb where it takes a village to raise somebody, you know what I'm saying? I think the rap community really embraced Remy And now she's in her queendom, and it's so great to see, you know what I'm saying, when somebody can get rehabilitated, you know what I'm saying, because she had to sit down for 7 years, you know what I'm saying. She did a 7-year bid in prison, and, you know, for Papoose to really hold her down, and then when she come back out, Fat Joe still saved the spot for her, and to see her now hosting the Wendy Williams show with Fat Joe, and, you know, doing the Love and Hip Hop, and, you know, now she's being showcased on Drink Champs, I just think it's dope, man. So I just wanted to salute. So a big shout out to that. Now, let me see here. What else I'm going to talk about? So now, a couple shows I want to get.
Look at the picture.
Oh, look at the picture. Oh, let me look at your picture. What you sent? You sent it on IG or you texted?
Yeah, on IG.
Hold on. All right. So look, just talk something real quick while I pull it up.
Oh my God. I'm trying to
Oh yeah, I definitely see it. Yes. Okay. So this your grandmother?
Yes, that's my grandmother. My mother's mother.
So I can definitely see the Native American. So I totally get where you're coming from. No, I definitely can see it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing.
Yeah, they have a very distinctive look.
Yeah, they do. They do, cuz there's another associate at my job too, and it's funny cuz that's why I never knock somebody, even if I don't agree with it, because, you know, a lot of times I just, you know, you put me onto something that I don't know about, that I got to do more knowledge of it. So I never knock anybody, no matter what they're talking about, even if I don't agree, when they got passion, because that passion is coming from someplace. And, you know, when you spoke about what you spoke about with the whole African situation, I guess you was looking at it from a point of view. I mean, look, this is just me analyzing it, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you looked at it from what you saw, you know what I'm saying? But I guess from what I was looking at, I was like, black was just tired of just seeing the African side and white people just showcasing that part, whereas other black people that have, like I said, that Native American roots or whatever, and you want to show that, you know what I'm saying? And I see you definitely have a grounded Native American, you know, way about you. You know what I'm saying? I can see that.
Does she look anything like she came from Africa?
she definitely looks more Native American. You know what I'm saying?
And her mother, purebred Native Americans, not long lineage, that purebred. Her dad was also Indian. My grandmother just got with a black guy. You know what I'm saying? And then had my mom and them. They all of their people were Native American. My grandmother's father, all of them was Native American. That's why she looked the way that she does. My grandmother then got with my grandfather, who is from Africa, right? So where it blended, they came over, you know, got with, you know, them, and there you go. You know what I'm saying? You have the best of both worlds. I don't shun my African side, not one bit, but you're not going to use Africa to represent me, especially when I've never been there. And you're talking about my ancestors. My ancestors are right the fuck here, okay? This is where my ancestors are. Now, I have ancestors there, but Africa does not represent Black History Month, and you would not know it. You see me, you're like, okay. And when people say, you're pretty for a dark girl or a chocolate girl, I'd be ready to spit in their face, because it's like, you don't even know who the hell I am. But now you get to see, like, okay, this is why my skin is the way that it is. This is why my hair grows the way that it does. You know what I'm saying? Like, 2 years ago, I had my hair completely shaved off. Now it's down my back. Like, it's certain things and aspects, even though you see a black girl with a big booty, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you ghetto or you this. No, I'm not. And it's definitely in my blood. That's why my skin is the way it is. That's why my hair is the way it is. That's why a lot of things. But when you see my hair in regular natural state, not wet, you're like, oh, okay, you got some nigger hair. But when I wash my hair instantly curls up, right? So I have the texture of my mom and my dad, when it comes to my greater hair. And I don't have just one. I have both. So, you know, like, you don't,
no,
like the bottom line is you never know what is in a person. You know what I'm saying? You never know how much a person knows about themselves. So when you get somebody like me that is very well aware, and like when those people told me, like, hey, why don't you lose this fight to win the war, right? Like, we got something in store for them. I humbly bowed out. Like, do whatever y'all got to do. I was just trying to get my point across that it was very fucked up, you know what I'm saying, that you want to continue to operate like this. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, there's no way in hell that I would ever spend any money that has to do with the Shurion. You Break I Fix, unfortunately, is affiliated with the Shurion. The only thing they can do is pay me. I will not get their insurance. I will not get anything from them because at the end of the day, you know, they have some really fucked up antics behind themselves. So, and they're going to pay me till I can't get paid no more.
I feel that. All right. So now switching gears. All right. So now I teased a little bit in the beginning of the world famous Chavo when I was talking about how, like, TV right now is in renaissance, I'll say. I don't want to say golden age or whatever because I don't know if it's right there or whatever. But it's definitely in a renaissance, man, because you just seen it from so different angles. And you know, you got to use discernment. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I only can speak for myself. But I'm able to just tap into certain things and just get, you know, entertainment and knowledge from certain TV shows that I'm watching now. So one TV show that I want to give a quick shout-out to, there's going to be a couple of them, and pardon me if I'm rambling, but, you know, it's just a couple things that's coming into my mind all at once. But the first one I want to get into is Atlanta, right? So that was one of me and my wife's favorite shows. So Atlanta, big shout-out to Donald Glover. It came out in 2016 with the first season. You know what I'm saying? And it was showcased in Atlanta, and I was just like, oh, yeah, this is dope. Then came back in 2018, blew up. I think that's when I think at the Oscars or one of them Golden Globes, Donald Glover won an award for Atlanta, and you know, he shouted out Bad and Bougie, you know what I'm saying? And of course Migos, they did like a cameo on one of the shows, and that's what really blew up Migos. You know, Donald Glover really showcased them on the show. And then when he won the award, he was like, yo, I just want to shout out Bad and Bougie. That's my joint. And then Migos went through the roof, and then so did Donald Glover. And I just think it was like kind of overkill because then everybody wanted a piece of Donald Glover. He had the one song that was popular too, America or This is America or some shit, dope-ass video. And then he was in the Star Wars, you know what I'm saying? He was just getting offers everywhere. And I just think he was poor. He did this one movie with Rihanna, all types of shit. He was just saying yes to everything. And I just think that was probably like overkill. I think he probably just, and then COVID hit. So I say that to say this, Atlanta, it took 4 years off. Like, that's like some movie shit. I was talking to my wife, like, you know, usually shows at the max is 2 years before they come back. But 4 years, that's like a long layoff. And it kind of, you know, for anybody out there to watch the show Atlanta, I remember in season two, it left on a cliffhanger because, you know, and basically Atlanta's about, he plays the manager of this guy named Paperboy, who's like a rap artist that's trying to blow up, and he's from Atlanta. And anyway, so the finale of season two, because it's three seasons, season three just started, but season two, which came out in 2018, basically they was about to take a tour to Europe. And then, you know what I'm saying, and that's how it kind of ended. But I like the show, too, because it's like one of those shows. It's like each show is different. It's not like really – I mean, it follows a mold because you see them trying to come up, and now they look like he did come up. But each show is kind of like its own kind of like little movie or whatever. That's what I dig about it. But anyway, I say that to say this. So finally, it's been 4 years, and now Atlanta's back. So, and then it just came out Friday. They dropped two episodes. It's on FX, but, you know, I watch it on Hulu. And so the first episode, so two episodes it had me thinking, too, because it was like, wow, it was like kind of all over the place a little bit. But I just dig the creativity, even though, you know, it was like one of those things, like maybe after the first, like watch, you were like, man, I don't know, this shit is weird. You know what I'm saying? But then as it digests a little bit, you're like, all right, no, but it has some jewels in it. So anyway, the first episode, season premiere, it starts out, and next time I go to Atlanta, that's why, you know, and it's so prevalent that, like, the black Americans, man, due to knowledge, and really just understand where you come from and really, you know what I'm saying? That's why it's so important. Really talk to your elders and really know where they came from and all that, and just put the pieces together. So anyway, I say that to say this. Of course, I always say this all the time on the show, because both of my grandparents on both sides is from Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So I know my roots is deep rooted in Georgia. Shout out to my pops. One of my last text messages that I got from my pops was like, if you ever want to just know your true heritage, go to Atlanta. He didn't even know that I had been there like twice or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And he was just like, yeah, because that's where it's at, before he passed. So anyway, I say that to say this. So it starts out with this lake, this man-made lake in Georgia that's supposedly haunted. I don't know, you know, Black, if you're still on the phone, if you ever been there or whatever. But next time I go to Atlanta, I definitely want to visit this lake. You know what I'm saying? But apparently, and I got to do some more knowledge on it, but apparently it was a city that was underneath it, and then something happened, and then the lake came over. So it's like a lot of just history under the lake. And because of that energy or whatever happened, some old school crazy shit that happened way back in the day, is apparently kind of haunted. And yeah, so it was supposed to be like a black city. So it just starts out like that. But it was actually like a dream, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and then it shows this little kid, and all of a sudden, you know, his situation and where he's going today, it was like modern day. He was in school or whatever, and he was kind of like acting out. And then, you know, child services came and all this other crazy stuff. And then he had some crazy lesbian couple as his, like, caretakers, you know what I'm saying? It was just bugged out. But anyway, shit was interesting. But the main part about it that I thought was cool and dope was this whole, the history of Georgia and Atlanta and all the secrets and the deep-rooted things that's there. And you know what I'm saying? And now, just for me, you know, just really wanting to just know more and more about my history, you know what I'm saying, is from there. Because like I said, half of my mother's side, they're from Columbus, Georgia, both my grandmother and my grandfather. And then on my father's side, they're both old school Atlanta to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta, my grandmother and my grandfather. Even though once they moved up north, they was on their Cleveland, and they really didn't look back, especially my grandfather for some reason. But I don't know. I digress. But, you know, the more and more I just uncover it, man, it's just dope. But anyway, so that was the first episode. And then the second episode was even crazier, because now he wakes up from his dream, and now they are in Europe. And then, you know, he was in, like, the Netherlands, Amsterdam, and just some shit going on with their, you know, they was about to do a concert there. But then there's some crazy-ass old-school Christmas Kris Kringle fucking weird blackface shit going on. So it was just interesting. And then, you know, they tied in like this like Tupac kind of story. It was just, it was bugged out, man. But it's definitely got me intrigued, man. I'm eager to see, you know, what season, what's going to be showcased in this season, what the next episode is going to be. And then, you know, are they going to come back to Atlanta? Because the show is called Atlanta. So, you know, this probably got one more episode in Europe, and then they'll probably go back to Atlanta or whatever. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, man, especially Donald Glover, man. To me, I think I just like his creativity, man. So I'm happy that the show is back. So that's one thing that's back. Now, the other show that's got me open, that's my shit, man. Like, I love this show, you know what I'm saying, because it's just an easy watch for me. But it's just so smooth the way it is. And then I think it's the accents and everything. But Top Boy, big shout-out to Top Boy. Man, that's like the Euro version of Power. But it's just different, you know what I'm saying? But the reason why I did Top Boy, because Top Boy was kind of like on some Atlanta shit, you know what I'm saying, now that I'm thinking about it. So you had Top Boy Summer House, which came out probably like 2012, you know what I'm saying, like 10 years ago. That's when it started. And then, and they had like two, I don't know if it was It was at least two seasons. It might have been three, if I'm not mistaken. But I think it was at least it was two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Two seasons of that. And then all of a sudden, that shit went on a long hiatus. I was just talking about how Donald Glover took 4 years to come back with Atlanta. That shit, from like 2012 when that show came out, then it didn't come back until just last year, 2020, when the next season of Top Boy. And what was interesting about that is all the characters, because a lot of the characters was kids. Some of the characters just like kind of just grew up in that time span, so you're just seeing them as like young adults now from kids. And then, you know, the main characters, of course, they're the main characters, but it's just dope. And then now, and then what happened with that was when that ended, like I said, it was a long drought, and the two partners in crime or drug dealers, whatever you want to call them, you know, shit hit the fan. One of them went to jail. The other one, like, dipped out to Jamaica or whatever. And when they come back, you know, like, what, 8 years later, eight years later, it's a whole new young crew that's running shit, and, you know, they want their corners back or they want their turf back. And then you're just seeing the kind of war that's, like, you know, the young dude, just the new dude now, and then the OGs trying to get they turf back, man. So it's just dope. And then I love just British programming right now. Like, I'm in the zone with that, man. Like, that's dope. And then big shout out to, I can't think of her name, man. I didn't write her name down, but the chick that did I May Destroy You. She's got another show called Chewing Gum. I'm a big fan of her, man. British programming is just definitely just in a whole zone right now. Also, Last Kingdom, I got to get back into that. You know, I got back into the new, this is the final season of Last Kingdom, and that's just some old-school England Viking-type shit. So it's just a lot of good stuff, man, on the tube, man. So I'm just really zoning out. So between those shows and then my HBO documentaries, I'll be really entertained these days. So that's that. Now, switching gears, I'm going to finally probably, we got about, you know, seven, eight minutes left in the show. So now I'm going to get into the sports report of the show. So a couple things going on, man. A couple things happening. So first and foremost, Baker Mayfield, man. I don't know what's up for Baker. I'm going to just, you know, shout him out. You know what I'm saying? It was probably time to move on from both parties, but I got to give props to Baker because he did bring the Browns back from – the gutter, man. Like, he gave us some shine again, and now we off and running. But big shout out to Baker. You know what I'm saying? He was the first quarterback since Bernie Kosar to take our team, well, you know, to get a playoff win, because there was a guy that took us to the playoffs way back, but they didn't make no noise because we lost, like, in the first round. But Baker last year, you know, was able to – we went to the playoffs. We beat Pittsburgh, which is our arch rival. And we just had big things popping for this new season that just passed. You know what I'm saying? So we had a lot of expectations, but that's the thing. Now, when you're not creeping up on anybody, and now you're like the person that people are expecting to do big things, that's a lot of pressure. And, you know, he got injury, and I think that's what happened. And then what wasn't good for Baker was two storylines that didn't rock for him. One, him and Odell Beckham Jr. never got on the same page. And then, of course, you know, shit hit the fan. The Browns cut ties with Odell Beckham. He gets picked up by the Los Angeles Rams. They win the Super Bowl. There you go. So Matthew Stafford, who's the, you know, quarterback, came from Detroit. First year in L.A., was able to get a vibe with Odell. They win the championship, man, the Super Bowl. So that's not a good look for Baker. Then, secondly, I just told you how the Browns, Cleveland, big shout out, my hometown, had crazy expectations. I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and it didn't hurt. It didn't make Baker look good that our in-state rival, the Cincinnati Bengals, had the season that we were supposed to have. The Cincinnati Bengals went to the Super Bowl. They lost, but they got to the Super Bowl, and that was the expectations of the Browns. So I fast forward. Big shout out to Andrew Berry, Harlem educated black executive, president of the Cleveland Browns. He had to make a move. It was like, yo, this Baker situation, this ain't gonna rock, man, because I'm gonna end up getting fired if I just, you know, tie my ties to Baker and this shit go left another season. So he knew changes had to be made. Big shout out to Deshaun Watson, you know what I'm saying? Basically, you know, Deshaun had been on just basically a suspension for the whole season. You know, he was with the Houston Texans. And big shout out to Deshaun Watson because he had been doing his thing too. He's the best quarterback that they've had in Houston since Warren Moon. Big shout out to the old school, now extinct Houston Oilers. They're now the Tennessee Titans, but back in the day when they was in the Browns division, there was the Houston Oilers that had the run-and-shoot offense, Jerry Glanville, Howie Payne, you know, Warren Moon. You know, everybody remember those baby blue Warren Moon jerseys back in the day. But anyway, black quarterback, did his thing, Hall of Famer. But Deshaun Watson came in, you know, so they're now the Houston Texans. And, you know, he's got a young talent, man, dude out of Clemson. You know, and he used to battle Lamar Jackson back in college because, you know, Deshaun Watson went to Clemson, and then Lamar Jackson went to Louisville, and, you know, they just had their battles in college, and now they're both doing their thing on the NFL level. And, of course, Lamar Jackson is in our division with the Baltimore Ravens, so that's just another. You know, our division is very stout. We got the Baltimore Ravens. You got the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. And then, you know, you got Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin. I know Big Ben retired, but, you know, they're going to always put a competitive team out there. So, long story short, the Browns had to make a change. And you got to have a good quarterback now to win in this league. So, in comes Deshaun Watson. I'm big excited about this man. I don't want to put too much pressure on it because he still might get suspended. You know what I'm saying? He was having a little too much fun in Houston with the whole massage, with the happy endings. He was just doing it, ODing. But hopefully he got his act together. I know Cleveland is the type of city that's going to embrace him. He can definitely get his name back, get it back to prominence. And, you know, the city, you know, as long as you come in, do your thing, win, Cleveland will love you, man. He'll be worshipped like a king out there. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to say worship, but that's just how it is. He'll definitely live like a king in Cleveland if he comes and do his thing. And, you know, they're ready to give him the LeBron treatment. So, also, made another move, man. They signed Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was the number one receiver in Dallas Cowboys. So the Browns, you know, got Amari Cooper. So we're gonna see what he can do in Cleveland. I think that's a good move. And now he's a veteran wide receiver. I think Dallas, they had some young receivers they wanted to give some talent to, and they probably thought Amari Cooper was a little bit too expensive now. So, you know, we need a target for Deshaun Watson. So we'll see how that works out. Excited, man, about the new NFL season. A lot of good storylines. Of course, we got Russell Wilson. He's going to Denver now. You know, he's got to show and prove because, you know, he had a kind of like fall off year a little bit in Seattle. So, you know, I want to see what him and Sierra are going to do in Denver, Colorado. So, and then Matt Ryan, you know, big shout out to ATL. You know what I'm saying? Matt Ryan was the guy that replaced Michael Vick. Got the Falcons to a Super Bowl, lost to Tom Brady, of course. But he's with the Colts. But we'll see how that works out because Matt Ryan replaced Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz fell off, man. He was the quarterback of the Colts last year, and all they had to do was win one game to get into the playoffs, and he lost. And so they got him up out of there, especially you on Hard Knocks. And you know, I'm watching the TV show, and everything's going well. You know, y'all turned y'all season around, and y'all went on a nice winning streak. And then you fall short the last game of the season. So, you know, they're replacing with Matt Ryan. So we'll see what happens. You know what I'm saying? I think that could be a good landing spot for Matt Ryan. I'm interested to see where Atlanta is going to go as far as their QB situation. You know what I'm saying? Because they have their QB solidified for so long with Mike Vick and then Matt Ryan. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Falcons do, man. Always like the Falcons somewhat every, you know what I'm saying? Like Mike Vick, Deion Sanders back in the day. So I'm always eager to see what ATL is going to do as far as their football squad. And finally, last, you know, I got like a minute left. Playoffs, man, NBA playoffs, man. So finally, the season's starting to wind down. Some great storylines going into the NBA playoffs. I'm going to definitely talk about this on the next, you know, few episodes of the World Famous Chop Up. But I'm looking at Minnesota Timberwolves in the West, man, as my little sleeper team. Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. I want to see what they're going to do in the playoffs. Ja Morant for the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm putting on for Memphis right now, man. I'm loving Memphis, man. Their whole music, their whole culture that they got going on. And then LA, you know what I'm saying, the Lakers is going to be in the play-in tournament, man. So we're going to see if AD can come back, if LeBron and Westbrook can get it together. So that's it. So this has been the world-famous chop-up. So as always, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, log on and listen, man. It's been a pleasure. You know, big shout-out to Black. Big shout-out to me for the world-famous chop-up. As always, you want to put a face with the voice, check me out on IG, MoBins, MoBinns. And if you missed the show, be on the lookout for the retweet. You know, Black already tweeted it out there, so I'm going to retweet it out there for the folks. So everybody, be safe, and we'll see you same time next week. Black is up next with her spiritual show. You get to see what she's going to be talking about. All right, signing off.